Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events. All right. Welcome back to the Duluth Rundown podcast. This is Mike Ward.
And I'm Tony Stensland.
And it is July 22nd today. This is our sixth podcast.
That's right. Number six.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's been fun.
We've been doing this since, what, April?
Something like that, yeah. Try to do it every 3 weeks or so is about when we've been recording.
And we have a super cool show today.
Yeah, super excited. A special guest who was kind of a last-minute add-on, but it worked out really well. I think you guys are going to really like what our guest has to say.
Harry Sloan.
Harry Sloan, kind of a living legend here in this area. I don't know. He's run Western States about a dozen times. He started the Superior 100 race. Yeah, he's the guy who started the race. So
I think he kind of embodies everything that we're trying to do with this podcast, like, you know, local Duluth running scene and kind of just, you know, getting other people involved and building a community. And so,
yeah, and then the historical aspect of it as well. He's been doing this kind of stuff forever. So you're going to want to tune into that interview, and it's really cool to hear what he has to say about some of his racing experiences and running experiences.
But should we get started with the program here, Tony?
Yeah, let's do some of the rundowns of kind of the typical stuff that we do.
All right, I'll start with the race results. So here are some of the race results of lately. Let's start first with Afton Trail Run 50K. This was on July 6th. First place men, Ben Schneider from Minneapolis with a 3:51. The ladies champion is Sarah Conrad from Minneapolis with a 5:01. Some notable Duluth finishers that I noticed, Ryan Braun, 11th place with a 4:31. He's racing like every weekend. I see him everywhere.
Yeah.
Also, Eric Keitela, 21st place with a 5:01.
Nice. Have you ever ran Afton, by the way?
I never have.
I haven't either. No, I've never gone down for that.
Yeah, it's usually like 4th of July weekend. That's always kind of a busy weekend.
Yeah.
You know, up at the cabin or this and that. It's, yeah, but
yep.
It's been kind of on my list. It seems like a fun race.
The one that I've always been interested to is Trail Mix. Afton always kind of seems kind of hot and gross, but Trail Mix is one that I've never done, and I would like to do that at some point, yeah.
Funny, because I almost did that because that race went on when Zumbro was shut down.
Right.
Back in April.
Yep.
Anyways, Runway 4K, that race was on, and I didn't write the date down, I forgot, but it was a recent race here in Duluth, 4K, kind of a bizarre distance, and that's at the downtown Park Point at the airport. The winner of that one was Aaron Nelson, a 5:35 pace. 4 seconds later, Sawyer Morgan, 5:36 pace. And then third place for the guys, Jesse Krause with a 15:15. And this was kind of interesting. The ladies champion, exact same time. Kate Nelson wins it, according to the results. Liz Nelson, second place with a 6:48 pace. Kate had a 6:47 pace. So Kate and Liz, they have the same last name and the same age.
Yeah, from the same time. I'm pretty sure they're twins. They also ran Park Point, as we'll get to that.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get to Park Point results, too, but they were on those results at Park Point. Yeah.
Both from Britt, Minnesota, so they must be twins.
Yeah.
And, good runners for sure. Third place in the Runway 4K for ladies, Katie Childs from Grand Rapids with an 18:47. Let's keep moving on. North Country Trail Races. That was just this past weekend, I believe, with a 5K half marathon and a mystery distance, which I believe ended up being 21 miles or so.
Yeah, yep.
Tony Bai of Duluth won the mystery distance with a 2:46, and Amber Hardwig of Duluth won the mystery distance for the ladies with a 3:10. The winner of the half marathon was John Lindbergh out of Lake Nebagaman with a 1:42. And the winner for ladies, who is actually second overall, Emma Nelson, 1:46, which that's a smoking fast time on trail.
Yeah.
From South Range. And I didn't catch the 5K results, so I don't know. And Let's talk about Eugene Curnow Trail Marathon. This was on July 13th and kind of the precursor to the Voyager, formally named the Half Voyager because it's essentially half the course.
And before that, I think it might have been even called the Race to the Turnaround or something, and then they called it the Half Voyager or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, funny.
Yeah, I think the whole thing started as really just a training run for Voyager, which sort of morphed into a race, and now it's its own thing, really. The Curnow is such a big deal now. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely competitive and sold out. Sellout year for sure. I think there was a pretty long wait list.
Yep.
On the guy's side, the winner, Wynn Davis, who is a pretty prolific trail runner in Minnesota. He's from Stillwater, wins a lot of kind of marathon type trail distances. And he had a smoking fast time, 3:25:52. 5 minutes after that, Evan Wetzel with a 3:30:49 out of Waukesha, Wisconsin. And then Dan LaPlante, 3:35, from Minneapolis. And on the ladies' side, Jennifer Lucarelli from Hibbing, 4:31:03. Gretchen Metza, 4:34, from Boole, Minnesota. So the kind of Iron Range ladies taking it. Definitely a little bit of a tighter race on the gal side. And then especially going into third place, same time, Claire Walling with a 4:34 out of Roseville, Minnesota, and Kelly Tieslink, 4:34:12.
Yeah, I know Kelly a little bit, and yeah, she's a good runner. Yep.
I think she's doing Voyager.
Probably so. Yeah.
I think Jennifer is doing Voyager and Gretchen. So we'll be on the lookout for all of those fast ladies next weekend for the Voyager, and we'll get to that in a sec. Some other Duluthian finishers from Eugene Curnow: Jonas Wrighty, 4th place, 3:41. Kyle Severson, 5th place, with a 3:46. Sarah Nord from Duluth did a 5th place, 4:45. Erica Fox, 6th place, 4:45. Aurora Kothi, doing all types of races every weekend, even sometimes on Thursdays. 7th place with a 4:50. And Amy Broadmoor, 8th place, with a 4:58. So definitely a lot of Duluth runners out at the Eugene Curnow Trail Marathon last weekend.
And I really want to give a little shout-out to Kyle Severson for that race. He's coming off – he's had a bad knee for a lot of the year so far, kind of, I guess, maybe even – I don't know, Kyle, maybe like mid-February, and it's kind of when it happened, and he lost a lot of training. For him to get back and finish 5th at Curnow – and on that course is a really impressive run. So nice job, Kyle.
Yeah, I come across the line. He was looking smooth. So
yeah.
And then let's talk about some Park Point 5-miler. That was just this past Thursday. That's always a great race. Definitely competitive down here on Park Point. It's always hot. You know, Thursday evening run, and it was certainly hot. This edition as well. Gosh, I don't know what the temperatures were, but I want to say 80, 85, just like a stagnant air.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of breeze that night. It was mid-80s, I'm sure, for sure. Yeah.
And that race was won by Nick Nygaard. This was his third time winning the Park Point 5-miler. His time was 26:29. I think last year he got like a 25-something. I think he's done low 25 at this race. So
yeah.
I think that's really just a testament to the heat.
Yep.
And I saw he and second place Scott Bailing at about the 2-mile turnaround. They're neck and neck. So Nick prevailed in the heat. And then Henry Sieb took third with a 28:16 on the ladies' side. Claire Kazmierczak, 34:04. She's from White Bear Lake. Lindsey Green from Winnipeg with a 34:38. And Sarah Godfrey from Minneapolis with a 35:16. So kind of a little bit tighter times on the ladies' side as well. And yeah, I was down there and I interviewed the winners and some other runners.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we check out some action live from Park Point?
Sounds good.
Hey, this is Mike here with the Duluth Rundown Podcast. We're at the Park Point 5-miler. We're here with race winner Nick Nygaard with a time unofficial 26:30, somewhere in that range. Nick, how do you feel?
Feeling good.
Nice. What was the course like out there today?
Pretty flat.
Pretty flat. It's a scorcher of a day. How do you think you do in the heat?
Average. average, but you prevailed today. Was there any tactics out there that you utilized, or just what was your race strategy?
Not really, just trying not to slow down.
Nice. Well, it obviously worked for you. All right, so how did the race play out for you?
Scott went out for the first half mile, probably caught right around the mile mark, ran with them until the turnaround. And then he got a little bit of gap in the turnaround and kind of kept that to the finish.
Nice. Yeah, it was neck and neck when I saw you at mile two, so I was wondering if it would be a sprint finish. Do you think that it was going to be a sprint finish?
I was, and I was very worried if it was going to be.
Nice. Nice job.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Mike with the Duluth Rundown. I'm at the Park Point 5-miler with the ladies champion. What's your name and where are you from?
Hi, my name is Claire Kazmierczak. I'm from White Bear Lake.
Cool, Claire. Great race today. You were way out front. How did the race play out for you?
It was pretty good. I think I just kind of started off the first woman and kind of stayed there. It was nice and even splits, beautiful course. The wind was great. It's a good day. Good night.
Nice. Yeah, it's pretty hot out here today. How do you personally fare in the heat?
Heat is not my friend, but it's been so warm the last month, really. Just acclimating, and yeah, it was okay today.
Heat training, nice. Yeah, did you have any strategy? Did you like hydrate extra, or do you have any strategy to kind of beat the heat?
I just tried to grab the water at every spot and run through the sprinklers and look for the finish line.
Nice, nice. So is this your first time in Duluth? Have you done any other races in Duluth that you're especially fond of?
It's my first Park Point, and I've done all the Grandma's Marathon, Half Marathon, 5K, so yeah.
Cool. And what's next for you race-wise the rest of this season?
Ultimately, I'm training for Twin Cities Marathon. I'm going to do the MDRA 15K and the City of Lakes Half.
Awesome. Well, hey, thanks for being on the Duluth Rundown podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, this is Mike with the Duluth Rundown podcast. I'm here with Aurora Koth. Is that how I pronounce
it?
Kothi. And we're at the Park Point 5-miler. A recent finisher. What was your time, Aurora?
About 35:50 something.
Nice. Is that a 5-mile PR for you?
It's close to it. I think I was 4th or 5th lady, so I'm pretty happy.
Nice. Awesome. It's a scorcher of a day down here. How do you do in the heat?
Oh, I just melt. It makes me cry inside.
So how did you get around that? What was your race strategy, being that it was a hot day today?
I took in the cool breeze every time it came around, and I made sure to run through every single sprinkler, which I don't normally do. So I'm really happy I did that.
Nice. Great. And how was the competition out there? I mean, were you trying to race? Did you see any other gals out there that you were going against?
I always try and get ahead of each woman that I see in front of me. That's always my goal.
And did you see anyone out there and you passed them or anything, or any back and forth?
I did. I passed the two women that I wanted to pass, and so I felt pretty good about that. But, you know, running, and I'm like, God, how close are they behind me? So it was fun.
Nice. And you've been racing just like crazy lately. I see you at every single race. You're everywhere. What's next for you?
I am doing the North Shore Run, the Wheels Off Half Marathon, and I'm super excited about it.
Great. Awesome. Is that your next big race?
That is my next big race.
Awesome. Well, congratulations. Thanks for being on the Duluth Rundown podcast. See you next time.
Thanks, Mike. Have a good one.
You're welcome. All right. We're here with Sasha Wahman. Finisher for the Park Point 5-miler for the Duluth Rundown podcast. Sasha, how did the race go for you today?
It was pretty good. It was very hot.
Yeah, it's a scorcher down here. How do you fare in the heat?
Well, I pour a lot of water on myself.
Nice, yeah. Did you have any other strategies to kind of beat the heat? Just go through all the sprinklers or what?
Yes, and get really close to the sprinklers.
Nice, nice. Is this your first time doing the Park Point 5-miler?
No, I've been doing it since I was 7.
Wow. And how was your time today?
It was a little longer than last time.
Yeah, but it's a hot one. Can you tell our listeners, how old are you?
10.
Wow. Do you know how you did in your age group?
Not yet, no.
Nice. Well, that's awesome. And what other races are you going to do this summer?
I don't know yet.
Sweet. Well, you have a lot of talent, Sasha. Keep running. Thank you for being on the Duluth Rundown, and congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So my daughter's in eighth
We're here with Jara Wahman with the Duluth Rundown podcast. Jara, it's a scorcher. How did the race go for you out there?
So Sasha and I ran together, and we this didn't happen like it usually does. Usually we muddle through the first mile, and then she warms up, and then she starts passing people. And today she exploded, and we ran. We were 10 minutes slower than last year.
Yeah, well, it was hot, though.
Yeah, it's the heat, and end of the day isn't always so good. Oh, and she was in Lake Superior for 3 hours this afternoon with her friends, and that tired her out.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you remember any other really hot, especially hot Park Point? I mean, it's always hot like this.
A few years ago, I didn't run it, but I was here, and the race directors announced that they weren't giving any awards out. And it wasn't much hotter than today, so they could have done that today, but, you know, people adapt, you know, they survive. This has got to be one of the hottest ones.
Yeah, I think those times were a little bit slower. I think Nick was 26:30 or so.
So that's about a minute slower than he would be on a cool day.
I would think so.
Right.
Well, hey, thanks for being on the Duluth Rundown podcast.
Anytime, Mike.
Moving on to upcoming races. And we'll kind of just zing through these. We got the Carlton Days 5K in Carlton, Minnesota, July 26th. That's kind of a fun, cool course. Pack a pickup for the Voyager is right at the race start. So if you're coming up for Voyager, you know, want a little extra challenge, you know, do the 5K and then the 50 mile.
Yep.
I don't know. of course, Voyager is July 27th, Saturday. Another shorter race if you're looking to rip a 5K here in Duluth. The Chief France Red Run is July 27th. That's off Martin Road. We have the Brewhouse Triathlon, which is my next race, actually.
Nice.
On August 4th. So that's a really fun one. You know, a little bit different, obviously, multi-sport. We talk about trail running so much, but triathlons are fun, too. Another triathlon coming up, so the Superior Man Triathlon on August 10th. New date for that. And a new venue, kind of, too, being at Leif Erickson, so that will be interesting. Also on August 10th is the Kristen Burkholder 5K. That's always a pretty well-attended local 5K road race. And also on August 10th, I think there's some local Duluth runners running the Paavo Nurmi Marathon.
Jonas is doing it, yep.
Yep, so he just had a good race at the Kernow, so I'm sure he's going to be in real good shape for this. And Jonas is kind of just like a crazy high-mileage runner, so I know he's just loading him on leading up to Paavo.
Yeah, Jonas should do well at the Paavo Nurmi one. That's a hilly route, and he kind of thrives in that stuff. I think he'll do really well.
I don't really know anyone else running Paavo that I've heard anyways. But
I don't either. No.
If you are out there, let us know. We'll give you a shout-out.
John Storkamp often does it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he might be doing it.
Right.
Yep.
So, kind of just ran through some local results. I think that's about it going on in the local race scene. A lot of action. We're definitely getting into the heat of race season.
Another one that's coming up, and I don't know if it's necessarily before our next scheduled podcast recording, and it's kind of a race, but it's the Ragnar that finishes here in Duluth. I think that's August like 14th, 15th, something along those lines.
Oh, really?
And that finishes in Duluth this year, so that's pretty cool.
That's going to be really cool.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
It finishes down in Park Point, pretty much more or less where the 5-miler is.
Right.
It's finishing down there. So I think that'll be a fun one to go down and check out and watch as people come in. Because there's going to be a lot of people from Duluth, obviously, getting teams together.
I thought it was at Leif Erickson.
Yeah, you're right. I said Park Point, but that's wrong. It's either Bayfront or Leif Erickson.
I thought it was Leif Erickson.
Is it Leif Erickson? Okay. Yeah, that would make sense.
I haven't looked too
it's not
much
Park
into
Point.
It, but...
Yeah,
that's gonna be cool. Do you know anyone putting up a team?
There's some folks that are doing teams that I know of. I can't that I've spoken with. I can't think of any of the teams. There's a lot of people, and from what I know, the people that I know, they're all on different teams. There must be three or four different teams of people that I know. They're on three to four different teams. So
cool.
Yeah,
it's gonna be quite the setup in Leif Erickson. I mean, I assume finishers come in at a kind of a wide range of times, is that right? Or do they kind of lump them together?
No, I think they probably come in at quite... I've never done a Ragnar, so I don't know a ton about them, but...
Neither have I.
Yeah, I imagine, yeah, it's going to be an all-day process.
We should put together a team, maybe. First time Ragnar.
Yeah, exactly.
I've never done... I want to.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I don't know, maybe I'm self-conscious because I've never been, like, invited to be on the team, so maybe that's why.
Yeah.
Or something, like, please invite me.
Next year you're going to be on a team now.
Yeah, all right. Hopefully. Well, let's keep jumping around so we can get to our interview here. Do you have anything for the Coach's Corner, Tony? Any words of wisdom?
I don't necessarily have anything for Coach's Corner. Last time we talked a little bit about the heat, and I just wanted to make sure people are careful about that. And we're still in that. I mean, last week to me was a really hot week that we don't see very much of that just kind of extended. It felt like real summer there for sure. Hopefully it's getting back to a little bit more normal. I don't know, for me, kind of where I'm at with my running, if I can relate that to other runners as well, is it's really just if you've got a fall race coming up, is just kind of keeping the faith, keeping the focus on that fall race. And if you've been going, say, since January with training for training for grandmas, and now you've got something in the fall, this is the time of the year often where you can get a little burnout and you can just get a little mental fatigue. But just kind of maintain that focus and keep the eyes on the prize, as they say.
Nice. I keep saying nice. I should stop. Excellent. What about gear review? Do you have any pieces of gear that you've been into lately? Or I don't really have any,
Yeah, I haven't really bought like new shoes for a little while now. The shoe that I bought recently is the Brooks Transcend. Just an everyday training shoe, kind of pound out the mile shoe. I really like that shoe because of the way it kind of supports my foot just enough without overdoing it. I've had good luck with that shoe in the past, so that's what I use as my just kind of pound out the miles shoe. And that's worked really well. So that's what I'm using, and that's kind of all I have for gear review. Seems like this time of the year, you're wearing the shortest shorts you can find and the thinnest shirt or no shirt if possible. So there's not a lot of gear involved at this point of the season, I guess.
Yeah.
Although I will say this, my wife has been using trekking poles a little bit more often on the trails and stuff, and that's really worked well for her. So we're in the market of getting her some nice running trekking poles. So
yeah, I'm a huge proponent of trekking poles. And I mean, kind of coming from more of a backpacker, mindset, they help backpacking tremendously. I mean, you stand on a scale and then like just put some weight on your trekking poles and you'll see. And that's kind of a fun experiment to just see exactly how much weight they take off just standing there.
Yeah.
And personally, I think they're really weird right away, but if you get into a rhythm, mm-hmm. They're really nice. And even if you're not physically using them, you can kind of carry them, and it's almost like a balance point. So yeah. When you're running, you can kind of balance a little bit. And
yeah,
I mean, brush on the trail, like you can whack the brush with the stick, and it's not in your face, Or early morning, Superior, 6 a.m., the sun's coming up, there's cobwebs everywhere. Mm-hmm. You can kind of just put them in front of your face. I think it's a kind of a versatile tool,
yeah.
And especially when you're getting into the 50-mile, 100K, 100-mile, and beyond realm.
Yeah, for sure.
They make a major difference, and I'm a huge proponent.
I didn't ever use them years ago, like when I did Superior. I didn't use them, but I used them at Arrowhead the last two times that I had done Arrowhead, and pretty much every single step I used my trekking poles for those because, right. Like you said, it's a rhythm. And it's a different kind of rhythm than running, but it's almost better with the poles. It's just right. Kind of helps you kind of get into a flow.
If you don't think you like trekking poles, just give them a shot for 50 miles and then try and ditch them.
Yeah.
And then you'll see if you like them or not.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. That's true, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
What are you into?
What am I into? I'm into what book am I reading right now? I'm actually, I don't know. I've got about four books going. Two of them were at the library and I just took them back today. But one of them was a book by author named Ambie Burfoot, who is what used to be the executive editor at Runner's World. He's a former Boston Marathon champion in 1968. That book, he's been running forever. There's one specific race in Boston, a Thanksgiving Day turkey trot, that he's done for 55 straight years.
Wow.
Think about that for a second. The same race for 55 straight years. So that's how long this guy has been running. And that book is it's called Run Forever because the idea is here's the advice that you need. It's boiled down, super simple, short little paragraphs, each little section is about three pages, and it flows into the next theme and the next thing, and is so full of the most important running wisdom that you will find. Everything running can, you can, if you boil it down super simple, is really simple, and that book kind of just outlines everything right there. So I want to actually buy that book because I checked it out from the library, and I actually want to own it so I can refer to it often, because it was just so wise, that book is.
Yeah. That kind of sounds like our guest today, you know, just keeps running, been around forever.
Yeah.
Do you think Carrie's read?
That's a good question. Should have asked him. yeah, he probably has. My guess is he probably has read that book. Yeah. It just came out about a year ago, though, so it is relatively new, but yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So not writing forever.
Right.
That's a bad joke. What I'm into, I'm always into fastest known times. I feel like I'm into just a different fastest known time every other week or whatever, but I have been into tracking, and I'm really excited to report that a completed new fastest known time on the Superior Hiking Trail, Cameron Schaefer, he's from the Twin Cities, and he finished a supported speed hike of the Superior Hiking Trail in 6 days, 18 hours, 45 minutes. And so he actually set the supported fastest known time. There were several supported attempts this year, but none made it. So Cam was the first one to make it.
Yep.
He was not without his issues. I mean, it sounded like he was really, really dragging by the end there and really in pain. And I mean, I don't think you can get through that unscathed. And so big ups to Cam for six days, 18 hours, 45 minutes. That beats the next fastest time, which was unsupported by, you know, 26 hours. So, you know, it's definitely a big chunk of time taken off. And he did it just really smooth and steady, just kind of 45 miles a day, just day after day after day. No big days, no tricks, just kind of 45 miles a day, every single day. And, yeah, big ups to Cam. I will say, though, my gut instinct is that time will go down this year.
Yeah.
I think
someone
so.
Else in the fall, maybe.
I think so. Yeah.
Do you know of other attempts? People have made declarations.
A little bit, but not really. I mean, I've kind of heard some chatter here and there. Not really, but just to see so many attempts go down, like through July, and Cam do this in July, which personally would be like, I think the most challenging time to do something like that.
Yeah.
I think, you know, once September, October hits, kind of the prime time for through hiking.
Yeah.
I think there's plenty of people who are going for it who, you know, haven't said that they are or whatever. And
they just haven't declared yet, but it's, the decision has been made by them.
Probably. And like, for instance, like Mike Coppy, like he was kind of going for a 4-day excursion. So, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, like, I think Cam, very respectable, but... That's kind of my gut instinct. That's going to go down this year. So
I'll tell you what, my wife and I were up on the SHT a couple, 3 weeks ago. We did Silver Bay to Teta Gooch, and we got our butts kicked. It was July, and oh my gosh, that was so hard. I was thinking about through hikes and that kind of thing. We were trying to walk quick, and that section through there was really tough, and it was super hot that day.
Yeah.
And a lot of it wasn't, the trail wasn't maintained well.
Right.
So we were fighting brush a lot, and then you've got the bugs on top of that, and then the heat. And then the way that dumb trail is made, they have you go up to every overlook for absolutely no reason other than to see the same overlook that you just saw like 40 feet ago. So you get really frustrated, at least I do.
Yeah.
And no, it's a beautiful trail. I'm being facetious, but... it's so hard. I can't imagine trying to cruise through that at a fast pace day for, you know, 45 miles a day or whatever.
It's the bugs.
It's just nuts.
I think it's the bugs that really get you in this time of year because, well, you know, how do you beat the bugs? Well, you put on a long sleeve shirt and long pants and a hat.
Yeah.
But then the heat really starts getting to be an issue, right?
And no doubt.
So it's like you're trying to balance several aspects. And so, I mean, I think the 6 days, 18 hours, I think it'll go down, you know, but seriously, big ups to Cam for doing that in July. Like that's impressive.
Yeah. Sure. That's so hard.
So that's what I'm into. Do you have any other kind of shout outs or anything, Tony?
I think that's really kind of about it. The one for Kyle Severson, Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool for him to come back from what he's been through so far with his knee injury this year and to do so well at the Kernow.
Yeah, he's running strong for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I guess without further ado, let's get to our interview with Harry Sloan.
All right, sounds good.
All right, so here we are today with Harry Sloan. Longtime runner, been a fixture in the northern Minnesota running scene. And yeah, we're really excited to have you on, Harry.
Thank you. It's I'm just getting old, and it's been like 40 years that I've been running here. So.
Well, we were just talking, and I guess we were talking about just some of the races you've done, and maybe just to start, kind of run down like some of the races you've done. I know you were a 100K champion at one time. I'm kind of curious from you kind of what your accomplishments have been over the years.
Well, and I started, we didn't have a lot of trail ultras. Actually, there were none. And the Edmund Fitz was the 100K, which was my distance at the time for what I seemed to run the best on. And but we primarily ran road races. And the Edmund Fitz was the 100K started in Little Marais, ran all the way on Highway 61, and we finished at Lemon Drop. It changed over the years to Finland, but and so you'd have to fight the Munson trucks back then, the big semis, and you're always running on the left-hand side of the road, so the road can't got to you after a while. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, and my best was a 7:47, so back then I could average, it wasn't fast, but I could hold my distance for a long time.
Yeah.
So and then, so I averaged 7:30s in that one, and there were two Edmund Fitzes, at least two that were the U.S. Nationals, and then the Edmund one time had the World Championships here.
That's when Yannis Kouros was here,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Did you run with him?
Well, I didn't run with him. He was way too fast, but I ran the same race he ran.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So. I've done some research on Yannis, and it's really cool to see his accomplishments. So, I mean, even to see him in real life, I think would be kind of a unique experience.
He was, without a doubt, probably the best ultra runner in the world ever. I don't, because he lasted so long. He was so durable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just some, it's like impressive. His 24-hour, like, I think 188 miles.
And he was a primarily a road runner also. And normally the road beats you up so bad that you don't have that many good years. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then the year I won it, I actually got passed by Sandra Kitty at the finish line.
Oh.
It was a, she set a new either world or U.S. record in the 100K at that point in time. Oh. And, yeah, with a mile to go, I had a mile lead. At a half mile, I had a half mile lead. At a quarter mile, I had a quarter mile lead. And with about 100 feet to go, if you've ever had a glycogen depletion, you know, you're...
The bonk.
Yeah, I felt mentally fine, but my legs, I couldn't control them, and I ran into a curb.
Oh, no.
And she passed me, and then I had to lock my knees and walk to the finish.
Oh.
But yeah, but that at least I got beat by somebody who was really good. But I won the men's.
Oh, okay.
So I did win.
Geez, after 62 miles.
Yeah.
Wow. And then, so Tony was just reading off some stats from Voyager. You have,
22 finishes. This will be number 22 here coming up. Is that right?
I actually, for this year, I wrote them and told them that, you know, I can't make the cutoff times anymore. So I said, you know, put somebody in, because I guess they have a wait list of 100 people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I said, put somebody in who can finish it and take me out.
I see. Yeah.
So I did, and when I finished the Kernow, mm-hmm. she said, see you in 2 weeks. And I said, well, no, because I wrote and said I wasn't going to run this. You put somebody else in. And she said, they told me, yeah, but we declined your... so I'll probably be there, but I'll never finish it. I just can't make the cutoff, so...
Yeah.
So.
But first one that I noticed, your first Voyager was in 1982.
That's the first one, yeah.
The very first one, yeah.
And that was the first trail ultra, I think, in the state. I know for sure in this area.
Okay.
But prior to that, there was the Gunflint Trail 50, which was a road 50 up in Grand Marais. And they ran that for 3 or 4 years. So we did that. And then there was Mille Lacs, which was also... that was 100K. That was a road.
Oh, really?
Yeah, around Lake Mille Lacs.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. That was a state championship, the Mille Lacs race.
That's really cool. Were there any 24-hour race?
Yes. Yeah, they used
at the time. They have some of those.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I set the state record one time.
Is that right?
Yeah. 100 and at the time it was 127, but it's been beat many, many times since. But
wow,
yeah,
nice.
But at that time,
is that at Fans or was that different race?
Yes, fans. It was Fans.
That race has been going on for quite a while.
Yeah.
It has. It's been 25 years at least, maybe longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's strange that there are several road ultras. Even in the region, Mille Lacs, up near Ely in the 80s, and now it seems like there's kind of a resurgence. Obviously, there's the trail phenomenon, but it seems like it's such a niche sport, road ultras, you know?
Yep.
I think people think of that and they're like, what?
Yeah.
It's hard, but like Gunflint Trail was kind of a fun run because you started at the end of the Gunflint Trail and you finished up in Graham Race, but it was primarily a downhill. 50
miles. Oh, sure, right.
That's cool.
What was that first Voyager like?
Well, the first Voyager, for years, the Voyager started and finished at Spirit Mountain, not Carlton.
Mm.
And where the Munger bike trail is, that was not a bike trail. It was an old railroad grade with those big rocks on it you had to run with.
Yeah.
And you would start at Spirit, and you'd go down to the west end, back up, and I think you had to go down again and back up, and then you would hit the ski trails where we hit now. And then Jarrow's Beach was always there.
Uh-huh.
But Jarrow's Beach is different. It used to be open, and now there's brush all over.
Oh, sure.
All that kind of stuff. So,
huh.
And it was, a lot of the trail is very similar to what it was, but we used to get to the bridge before the Munger bike trail. You know, that little bridge, and then you get the Munger bike trail, and you finish up on the curve. Well, you turned around just on the other side of the bridge and came back.
Oh, okay.
In the first year or two, it was 48 miles.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Because I know they, when Jurek's record was still, you know, the one to beat, I think Jarrow had a faster time, but that was when it was 48 miles. Or someone had a faster time, I thought, but it would,
I think for 2 years it was 48 or something like that.
Is that right? Okay. Yeah.
But then they switched to Carlton, and then they had usually always at the school, but one time we finished at the football field, and it was hot, hot, hot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, wide open. And was that kind of a new thing then? I mean, all the ultra people are just running roads, and then all of a sudden there's a trail race?
It was pretty new, and if you're a road runner and then you start running on the trails, it kind of spoils it because how can you go back to road after trail?
Yeah, right.
And then it's hard on your body too, because a trail is a lot easier on your body than a road is.
Yeah.
After, I mean, you can recover.
Yeah, and you don't pound. You know, road running is just that same.
Yeah.
Facing the same way, running the exact same way every step for the whole race.
Mm-hmm. Plus, there's like curbs to hit. And
yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Well, you got rocks and roots and mud. And I hate mud. The older you get, the worse you hate mud.
Oh, yeah. Were there a lot of people that first year in 82? Or I mean, was it mostly locals?
It was mostly locals, and I think we probably had 48 to 60. Maybe had 60 sign up and 48 start.
Hmm.
And really, for many years, it never filled up. The filling up is a kind of a recent phenomenon, I think, in the last... 5-10 years?
Yeah, probably so.
I might need to fact check it, but I think the NMTC board lowered the limit from 550 to 350.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why there's the big wait list. I think this year.
Fun?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Pretty sure.
They lowered the amount that they can have on the trails. Yeah.
See, that's like Superior, too. When we first started Superior, there was only, I think we only had 68 or 70.
Mm-hmm.
And half of those were from California.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because Western States and that's...
Yeah, and there just weren't that many 100-mile trail runners in Minnesota at that time.
Yeah.
Now it's different.
Yeah.
Is that because it was just such a niche, like, unknown thing?
It was, because at the time we started Superior, we were somewhere either the 8th or 9th or 10th 100-miler. We were... There weren't very many to pick from.
Right.
And but there weren't that many runners. But now, my gosh, they're all over the place.
How did you find out about the races then? If you're someone from California, how did you find out? How would they find out about Superior?
We'd advertise an Ultra Runner.
Ultra Runner magazine. Yeah. Yep.
It's not like you do an internet search.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Not back then. No.
Not back then.
But Ultra Running.
Everything was all in the magazines and everything.
And Stan Wagon, if you know, he and his partner started Ultra Running, the magazine.
Okay.
And he was a mathematician, so he came out here and ran. And you know, we had the initials SHT, and he ran the race, and he, you know, he said, "Shit, that's definitely what that trail is." But he also did the elevation gain and loss.
Uh huh.
And the elevation gain and loss at Superior is more than at Western States.
Yep. Yeah. So,
but no mountains.
No mountains, just unending up and down.
Up and down, right.
Yeah. Speaking myself with a couple of people that I know that have ran both Superior and Western, everyone says Superior is a little harder than Western. What would you say?
I would. Technically, it's much harder.
Yeah.
Western is kind of a manicured trail. It's not bad.
Right.
You know, and you got that initial climb for 4.5 miles. But then after that, it's lots of climbing, but it's mostly downhill.
Yeah.
You know, you're going constantly downhill till you get to Auburn. So.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, and obviously Western draws the best in the world, but could you imagine like a 14-hour Superior finish? I mean, that's just kind of like hard to imagine.
No, I think the record is like 18 and change.
It's 18, yeah.
And that was, I forget who that was, but he...
Neil Kolick.
Oh, he's had new course record.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
A couple years ago.
That was 2018, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cause
was it
we
last
had...
year? Or was it 2 years ago? I can't remember. But it's Neil Kolick for sure.
2018, I think it was last year, yeah.
Yeah, we had a runner from South Carolina, and I can't remember his name right now, but he was a phenomenal runner. And this was his kind of a run because he didn't hydrate very well.
Oh.
Races like Western States, he could never finish because he didn't
too
drink
hot.
Enough. But here he did just fun. Matter of fact, when he ran, we had to send a special car out because the aid stations weren't set up in time, they're so fast.
Oh, yeah.
Just to take care of him.
So. That's kind of how it happens with ultras, you know, as a race director, is the field gets so spread out. I'm sure that's difficult.
Yeah, when we started Superior, I think we had a 30-hour time limit the first year, and it was way too fast. So then we went to 34. Then I think it's 36 now, isn't it?
I think it is, yeah.
38, even.
38?
38?
I think it's 38,
yeah, okay.
Perhaps, yeah.
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 So, Harry, you have several Western States finishes as well.
12.
And what was your best time at Western?
Well, my best time was 21-21, I think. And then I got lost. That was in 1983, they call it the year of the big snow.
Oh.
And we went out with probably the lead 15 or so. And they had a trail change, but the leaders who'd run it before knew the old trail, and so we got lost.
Oh.
We were down in a valley, and we were snow up to our waist.
Oh.
And we looked on top of this ridge, and there was a runner up there. So we climbed this mountain to get to the top of the ridge, and he's lost.
Oh, no.
So then we're going, where is the trail?
Yeah.
And way off in the distance on another mountain, you can see his tiny little figures running along a ridge. And that's the trail over there. So then... we had to run back over that way, so we took off, and there's this one guy who was lost on the mountain. He said, "Oh, sure, everybody take off. We're all going to die out here." So then we caught up, and it was okay, but next couple aid stations, you're hitting a cutoff time, so you want to really fly.
All right. Do you have any other kind of accolades or accomplishments that you personally, you know, through the years, like, stick out to you?
Well, the winning the national championship for 100K was good, and then I did Mille Lacs, won the state championship for that, and then set the state record for 24 hours.
Okay.
But those are all like ages ago.
Still, record's a record.
Yeah. But it was kind of fun, and then my running partner, Tom Andrew, who you probably didn't know Tom, but he set multiple national records for his age group. He was an ultra runner. He's a good ultra runner.
For just various 50K, 100K type
distances? Yeah, that type of stuff. Yeah, okay. He was a 50-mile 100K, and he did several 100-milers too.
Cool.
In your 24-hour races in those days, did you ever come across a runner from Iowa named Glenn Zirbel?
Oh, I knew Glenn.
Yeah,
we knew Glenn. And Dick Hogan, his buddy.
Yeah.
I knew Glenn.
I did a couple of 24-hour races myself down in Des Moines and ran with him. I remember having some really good conversations with Glenn.
If you knew Glenn, he was a practical joker.
Yes.
He finished Superior Trail one time, and he was seeing how tired he was, and he crossed the bridge, the nail bridge, and said he had a nail on his foot. And I'm fresh, right? And he just run 100 miles. And he pulls his shoe out, And somehow, when he took his shoe off, he put a railroad spike in there.
No
way. So he's complaining about the nail, and he pulls out this railroad spike. And says, how'd you do that? Then the next year, he finished it, and he complained about his toenail. And I knew that he could pull something. And he, somehow, he pulled his shoe off, and have you ever see those fake toes they put on the end of your toe with a big bulbous end?
Right.
So he had that thing on.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And if you knew Glenn, he was a big guy. He's not
yeah.
a small runner. He's yeah. probably 230 pounds.
Probably 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah. And he
was big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He ran 100 miles with the little fake phony
no,
toe?
Well, he carried it with him, and his thing tricked us at the finish. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's quite the character. And then Dick Hogan, I think, has his buddy has the most Kurnow finishes at 25, I think.
Yeah, is that right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they were a fixture for years.
So how did you get into running in the first place?
Well, I hated running, actually. I was on the track team in high school, mm-hmm. but I was a pole vaulter.
Okay.
So I didn't have to run. But yeah. we had to do a two-mile warm-up before we could start jumping. And so we'd run out a mile, smoke a cigarette, and then come back. But anyways, I love jumping. And then after high school, I joined the Marine Corps, and then I went overseas for a couple of years. And then when I came back, I was in junior college at Ely, and we were jumpers. And we would go to different meets, and we were probably the only school bus in a state that had a smoking section on the back. And we won the state for track and field that year.
Really?
But yeah. So, but I went in, was in the Marine Corps, and then I was a combat infantryman in Vietnam, and I got shot through my left leg, shot through my right ankle.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had, so my right foot's kind of crooked, and then I had shrapnel in my legs, and then I had one come up through my arch, and it's lodged in the tarsal and metatarsal. So my, yeah, and what's in the lung. But my feet have always been my weak point in running because they hurt all the time.
Jeez.
So.
That's an impressive running career given all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, jeez.
Well, that's why I started running, though. It's a good way to mellow out after that. So.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was after serving in Vietnam.
Yep, and then I came back, went to college, did track and field, and then I got married. And mm-hmm. I was a little wild and crazy. And so
you wanted to buy another pair of shoes. I said, no, well, I'm not surprised running.
So anyway, she's the reason I started running.
And was it like to just like stay fit, or was it like specifically a race then?
No, well, we've been married 49 years, and if I hadn't started running, I doubt we'd have made it this long. So, running
yeah.
just mellows you on.
Yeah.
Stress release,
stress
whatever.
Release, yeah, yeah. My wife and I both run, and we both need to do it.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And ultra running and running on trails is so calming, mm-hmm. and I love to run by myself on a trail.
It's yeah.
Nice.
It's therapeutic.
And it's also fun to go with a group of guys.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good time, too.
That leads me to my next question, because kind of a theme that we kind of want to stick to with the Duluth Rundown is the idea of, like, running mentors. And, I mean, to just pick up running, like, I'll just start running today. I mean, did you have anyone that, especially when you kind of got more into it, that, like, a group that you ran with or your wife or something? I mean, was there a running mentor or someone who really kind of got you into it initially?
No, not really. Well, yeah, my wife got me into it. But it's either shape up or ship out.
So. Right.
So I did, and there weren't that many, distance runners, ultra distance runners in Duluth. I mean, we had our group, mm-hmm. and we ran together a lot, and we have a group now called the OGs,
mm-hmm.
and it's the old guys, and we're the same group we've been for years, and they're pretty much everybody's 60, and that's like myself, Dan Doty, Brian Landstrom, Jeff Goldstein, and Mike Kucher, and mm-hmm. we all did the Kurnow together. Mm-hmm. Well, I shouldn't say together, because they leave me, I'm the anchor on the team.
Yeah.
How about, do you see yourself as a mentor, or have you been kind of that? Have you played that role yourself?
Try to, yeah. Especially if somebody's new and they haven't done it before, and you try mm-hmm. to tell them what to expect. And, because if you haven't done an ultra and the first time you do one, it's...
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. And if they have injuries or that kind of stuff, you kind of say, yeah, it's going to happen.
Yep. Yep. See, to me, one of the reasons why we want to kind of have that theme through the podcast is I just think it's really important to remember that we're kind of a link in a chain, that all of us, you know, someone's inspired us and now we can inspire them, and that's going to continue to lead on, just kind of all part of one big running family.
Well, it does. I mean, you look at like the Kernels, Barb and Gene.
Yes.
I mean, they were
the
ultra running community for a long time. And then Jaro, you know, he's always been around. And a lot of the old timers that were here, and Tammy Tansky, mm-hmm. you know, Tammy has been putting on races and doing. So there's that old group, and they're transitioned out now, and now there's a whole brand new group.
So I moved to Duluth in 2006. So I'm still new, really new to a lot of this Duluth running community, and that's selfishly, with this podcast, I wanted to learn more about that kind of a stuff and what you guys did, you know, in the 80s and 90s that I wasn't able to see. So yeah, it's important to me.
A lot of the races that they used to have, you know, they just don't have them anymore.
But
some of the old, like Voyager, is still here. Mm-hmm. Superior, it's reformatted, but it's still the same race. So
yeah,
I mean, certain things have to change, I guess, you know, but the history is a cool component for sure.
Well, when you get older, I find a fun thing is watching the new young runners run, because they're so good, and it's like, I wished I was back there, but I'll never be. But it's fun to watch them, and you know, that's the classic case. You got to make hay while the sun shines, because you know, you have those few good years, and then you can keep running.
Yeah.
So, but it's never
the same. Speed kind of goes away.
Yeah, endurance is amazing. That stays
right.
Yeah. Well, but I was looking at some of your times, like for instance at Voyager, and you were no slouch back in the day. I think, would you run a 7:06 or something one time?
Yeah, 703, I think, was my best. 706, too, it could have been. But.
Yeah, I mean, that's flying. Not very often people run under 7 at Voyager. That's still pretty rare.
I could never hit that. But yeah,
you're close. You're darn close.
There's not very many of that, you're right, that have. That's a tough course. And it has to be the right day, too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a great thing about ultra running, that a lot of people, you can be a mediocre and not necessarily the fastest runner, but if you have a good day and your great runners have a bad day, and there's so much time and distance out there that you'd be, sometimes you can do quite well.
That's true. Yeah.
It makes you feel good when you know that you're passing like a better runner than you, like on a marathon or something. Like, hey, nice race. Bye.
Last year at Grandma's, I got passed by a guy who was 82 years old, and he saw that I was an older guy, and he stopped and talked to me for a second, and he did not start running until he was 78.
Wow.
Yeah, he didn't run it this year, but he ran it last year.
Wow. That's good.
Strange. So you've obviously done a lot of ultra marathons, long distance stuff, and we talked about you getting into running, but how did you get into ultra marathons? Because me personally, like, I started with a 5K. You know, and over the course of years, next thing I know, I'm doing a 100-miler.
Well, I started with, like Debbie said, the 5-miler, and but then you get bored with the distance, and then you want to run Grandma's. Most people that start want to run Grandma's.
Yeah.
Run Grandma's. Then we saw the Gunflint Trail race, and I was like, I wonder what it's like to do that. And so we did that, and then the Voyager locally here. You just kind of work your way into it. And we did it relatively. Within a year or two, we were.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Pretty quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you always say? Anybody can run a 50 mile. Anybody can run 100 miles. Very encouraging.
Yeah. Yep.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Still, like, wild. Like, people can't wrap their head around it, you know?
the running that distance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you kind of get into it, and then it's like, okay, maybe I can.
And it's a great way to travel. Like, Debbie and I used to go to Europe a lot. We used to backpack, and we'd always try to find a marathon in Europe. Like, we've done Paris 3 times. And we've done Lisbon and Madrid and Sevilla and those different, and a couple in Italy. But it's nice because you can go over, run a marathon, and then eat
the rest of the drink wine.
That's the one thing about marathons, is especially when you're younger, you can eat.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah, you do the race over there, and then your training's done. You don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, you can.
Did you have a training plan back in the day, especially when you're running some of those fast times, or what was your kind of methodology?
Oh, I did. You'd have split. I'd figure out my splits like Western States. I'd have good day, a medium day, and a bad day. And what you had to hit the different splits on to try to get your finish time in.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then you'd kind of put that to memory. And,
I mean, were you like a high mileage runner?
You know, I did a couple of years when I do 120 miles a week. We'd try to do, when we were racing, well, 230 milers a week. And we'd usually go out on the Voyager for at least one of those.
So. Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but then you can only keep that up for so long.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
A lot of time and energy.
Yeah, you figure the number of times you shower in a day and do
that. Right. Doing laundry all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. What do you have any other kind of questions, Tony, or thoughts that you're...
So, a couple of questions. You're going to be at Voyager this year. It sounds like you're going to show up in some capacity.
I will. Maybe try and do half of it, but that's about it.
Yeah. See how it goes and enjoy the day and...
Well, if I can make the cutoffs, but I just am too slow anymore.
Well, you just said it yourself, Harry. I mean, if you have the right day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have your good day and medium day and bad day plan for Voyager this year?
No. You know, it used to be when you'd do the Voyager, you'd try to hit the split times at the zoo, but 3:15 to 3:45.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Kernow takes me 8 hours. It's like, let's see what happens.
Go ahead.
One other one. Are you going to be at Superior? Are you going to go up to Superior? And?
Well, I'm going to do the marathon this year.
Oh, that's right. You said you were going to do the marathon, so you'll be up there for sure.
Yeah, I'll be
there. On the Saturday. Yep. Very good.
That's a great segue. I wanted to talk about Superior because we've kind of alluded to it, but I don't want to say, are you the inventor, Harry? Or what would you call yourself? The first race director?
Yeah. Myself and Tammy Tansky directed it. We're doing Edmund Fitz, and there was a group of us, and they were just putting in the Superior Hiking Trail, and we thought,
right,
this would be a great place to do a 100-miler. So as soon as they finished most of the segments, there was a couple of detours in the early years.
Sure.
We started the 100-miler. And I'm from up on the North Shore, so I knew a lot of the local people, and like some of the aid stations close to Grand Marais. I had old teachers and that kind of stuff that I knew that helped with the aid station.
Volunteer stuff.
And then Tammy, Tammy, she knew all the volunteers, so without her, we probably wouldn't have had it. So, but she was able to get the aid stations and everything up and running. And the course was pretty direct. I mean, Silver Beta Grand Marais, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Crazy. And, cool. I mean, was it really like a hurdle to kind of set up initially, like... Major permitting or?
Oh, it was a pain because, yeah, you have to pay so much for each runner to the feds for the running in the federal forest.
All right.
Which I don't know if they do that now, but before it used to be a Cascade area and that stuff. That was
right.
All part of, and then we had the state parks. We went through, I think 4 state parks we had to get permits for.
Yeah.
And then, had to coordinate with, Highway Patrol and that. But that wasn't too bad because I was with the Sheriff's Department down here, so I knew the law enforcement
up
there. So that helped too. So,
right.
But each park, we had to. And then we made sure that all the people at the parks got shirts and that kind of stuff.
Oh, right.
We got membership for the...
Plus we paid... every runner, your entry fee included a Superior Trail membership, so that helped.
Oh, that's
with that
cool.
too, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, every year we did that, we lost about $1,500. So I'd pay $1,000 out of my pocket and Tammy would pay about $500 out of
her. Oh gosh.
We never
really?
Made money.
Wow.
No.
What if it just like went belly up one of those early years? I mean, just think about that from now,
We there was one year that it lagged, not when we were doing it, but there was a couple that took over after we were done.
Right.
And had it for another 6 or 7 years, so.
Well, I'm sure, too, like, setting up with some of the, telling people about it, I'm sure you got some kind of strange looks, like, oh, we want to do this 100-mile race. Like, you want to do what?
Yeah, the hiking trail, we were, when we first started up, we volunteered and we were on the board for the hiking trail. And I think initially they were didn't think it was possible, but. Now they kind of, they're used to it. I think it's good PR for them. And it used to be when we gave the membership that, the hiking trail could say we have members from 46 states. Well, 30 of those states came to from the race. Yeah.
30 people from California.
But we had lots of different states that would come up. But yeah, California was always well represented.
Yeah,
at cool. one time, California represented half of all the ultra runners in the country.
Wow.
That's where they were. Now it's not quite the same.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, that's wild. Cool. Were there any major challenges? I mean, otherwise, any big snafus in those early years or weather, you know?
Well, the first year we had between 2 and 3 inches of rain.
Oh, wow.
And there, you know, you had the mud, but and then the rock too. And then they had real heavy fog in the morning. And like, I don't know if you know Brian Patterson or not, but some of the guys had to have two flashlights. They had a headlamp and a flashlight to cut through the fog.
Yeah.
It was terrible weather. And half the markers didn't show up. So that the day of the race, I had to run 50 miles to mark trail because we didn't have enough markers. And then we had the old-fashioned glow sticks, if you remember those.
Yeah.
So you'd take and put those up, and like one time we had a marker that went in, and you had to break them and shake them. Well, she thought they turned on automatically at night when it got dark,
no.
So we had to go back out and remark. Then another time we marked a section from Lutzen to Cascade, and it was a long section, probably 12 miles.
Yeah.
And we had just finished marking it, and we're sitting by the car, and a couple came out with a bag full of marking ribbons, and they were so proud that they cleaned the trail off.
Oh, nice.
Oh, no.
So we had that kind of stuff. And if you put those races on, you know, a lot of times you get volunteers, they don't show up, so then you get sections of trail that you got to mark. Like one time we had a gal volunteered to mark part of the trail, and we never, ever did find out where she marked. She didn't mark the right trail.
Wow. The wrong trail, yeah. And, I mean, I think the area might be a little more developed these days. I mean, there's certainly more trails than the Superior Hiking Trails, you know, probably a lot less rugged and small. I mean, was it kind of just like being in the middle of nowhere, you know, up there?
Well,
or kind of the same as now? I mean, it's still pretty remote, obviously.
It's kind of similar to now, but they do have more trails. Especially in the Tofte-Lutzen section by the ski hill and the cross country ski trails they have in there and by Tofte.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is pretty similar.
Right.
So.
When they started the SHT and early days of the race, did they have the blue blazes on the trees? Or was that?
Yeah, and they had some of the hiking trail insignias too, but they were few and far between.
Yeah.
But our rule was that. If you on that trail, if 90% of the time, and there is that 10%, but 90% of the time, if you just continue straight when you get to an intersection, you're going to be right.
Right.
Because that's the way it goes.
It seems that, right. Yeah, that's true.
They do have more blazes now than they used to, so it makes it easier. Plus,
yeah.
John is really good at marking. I mean, they have a lot of, and they have the reflectorized ribbons now, which are really nice.
That's really nice, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I've done some like winter running and hiking and backpacking, I should say, on the SHT, and you know, it's just a lot harder to find your way. So my mantra, I always say, when in doubt, go straight.
And that's the right way to
go. Yeah. I've been out in the winter, you know, in the snow, and you can sometimes see a depression kind of where the trail is, but then sometimes you just, I don't know, just like, I don't see anything, I don't know where I am, and I walk back and, you know, find my footprints in the last blaze I saw, and like my feet just like pin right to the left. Like, I should have just gone straight, you know.
But. Well, and down here, the trails, like on the Superior Hiking Trail in Duluth, they do tend to twist and turn a lot more. Like the new Voyager Trail that they had for the Colonel, my gosh, if they hadn't marked that as well as they did, I'd never found it. You double back and you have all kinds of loops in there, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing, they don't have as many snowshoe races now as they used to.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, that used to be a big, big sport. It was snowshoe racing here.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I actually was a participant in the newly revamped Northwoods, which I know Tammy was the race director.
Is that the marathon?
Yeah, the Northwoods Marathon. Yeah.
Do they have it at Leicester Park still?
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
That was a bug
last winter, yeah.
This was the first year back, and Andy Holak, he puts on the Wild Duluth races, if you know
I signed up for that this year.
Oh, cool.
Because he's got a very lenient cutoff time.
Oh, nice.
So I thought, if I can't make that one, I'll have to give it up.
50K? Or?
Yeah, it's a 50K, and it's, I think you have 14 hours. So.
Okay.
Even I can do that. So.
Nice. Here's a question I have, and this is kind of related to, you know, Voyager dropping the cap, and I think a big reason for that is the kind of the health of the trail and like overuse issues. And obviously, like, if we get 2 to 3 inches of rain and then 500 people tromp over the trail, then it's a lot of, you know, repair work that needs to be done. And I think with a lot of the mountain bike trails going into, like, there's kind of the cycling community and the running community, and I guess I feel like the last few years that's been a much larger concern for, you know, the city of Duluth and such. How big of a concern or a thought, you know, was that just like an afterthought in the 80s, you know, being on the trails, or was it, I mean, I assume a lot of these are kind of like deer trails at that point anyways, you know?
Well, at the time, yeah, you didn't even think about that. But, you know, over the years, if the power lines especially, if you look at that, they have really deteriorated in the last, say, 10 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you get two races with even 350 people on the power lines, you know, when you cross the rivers, that just, the bottom of that hill is just destroyed. And it didn't used to be that way.
Mm. Huh.
So,
yeah. I think that is interesting. I think it's good. You know, on one hand, it's, like, frustrating. It's like, come on, like, these are trails that are supposed to be out here for us to use them. But on the other hand, like, obviously we got to look out for them. And
well, and a new course change, I think, is good. Well, for one thing, I hate the power line. In the new course change, you know, it's that section of trail is pretty good. And the hiking trail, they maintain pretty well, and it's made for a lot of people. So.
Right.
Yeah.
So
where the power lines are not designed for anything except power lines to run through, right? I
mean, they used to have that bumper sticker, "I heart the power lines." Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
And if it was me, I'd get one with a heart with a big slash. Right. Absolutely hated it.
Oh, funny. That's rough. That's rough. You know, like 2, 3 p.m., heat of the day.
Coming back on that, it was never, ever good.
Yeah.
It only got worse.
Yeah. Right. So. Right. So what's your training look at like these days? I mean, are you still running? I mean, probably not 120 mile weeks, but.
No, probably 3-4 days a week, and try to do Chester at least once a week, because Chester Bowl, you know, it's got to be one of the best training spots around.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if you don't trip and fall and kill yourself. And then it's got the steps. And so that, I still try and do that. I'm really slow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great. So. Any other questions, Tony?
For Harry? I don't think so. I think that's all I have.
Yeah. Well, I thank you.
Really cool talking to you.
Thank you. Okay. We really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for tuning in to episode number 6 of the Duluth Rundown podcast. Again, you can find us on a lot of the different podcast channels out there, including iTunes, and check out our Facebook page as well as our website, theduluthrundown.com. Let us know if you have any comments. We'd love to hear from you. Hopefully you're enjoying the podcast, and we'll continue on in a couple, 3 weeks.